think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Attacks, Scott Perry. When is this president going to respond, and how should he respond?
He should first of all, it has to be immediately, and second of all, the Iran nuclear deal has to be off the table completely, allowing Iran to have nuclear weapons deliverable by ballistic missiles to anywhere in the world is something that cannot happen. The United States has to be very clear about that. And so crushing sanctions, disallowing Iran to sell its oil on the open market, disallowing all the foreign entities that are stand to make billions and billions of dollars on an Iran nuclear deal. They all need to be told immediately that is never going to happen. And then supporting the Iranian resistance inside and outside of Iran, which the Biden administration has cut the legs out from under, and the Obama administration for that matter, over and over and over. That's what needs to happen, and needs to happen immediately.
It does need to happen immediately. It needed to happen yesterday. It needed to happen 2 months ago. It needed to happen 3 years ago. That was Maria Bartiromo, Fox News, asking a question of Pennsylvania Congressman Perry about what are we going to do about these 168 attacks? How are we going to respond? As we were noting in the last hour, these 168 attacks, our response so far, eight. By Quentin Cyphering, and I'm going to go with his numbering because I'm not very good at numbering anyway, except counting the money when I win at poker. That's a 1 to 21 ratio for every attack that we gave them. They hit us 21 times. 1 to 21 ratio. That's we respond one time out of every 21 attacks. And when we do, it's either hitting unoccupied facilities or the government. Our government inflates what we did when it really wasn't what they claim it was. And in some cases, as my guest in the last hour pointed out, Fred Flights, if you missed the first hour, shame on you. But you can always go back and pull up the podcast. He said, we were telegraphing. We sent word in advance to the Houthi rebels. We're going to hit this facility. Get your people out of there. That's not payback. And it was only a matter of time before we were going to have U.S. casualties with three dead. We've said it over and over again. We said it after the first attack that hit that base in Iraq, and we had, at first report, 20 injured. Then it became 40 injured. And then they acknowledged that out of those injured, some of them had severe head trauma. What that means, I don't know. They're not telling us. Does that mean they're going to be incapable of living a life unassisted going forward? Much less being able to perform again in the military or anything. I'm not going to say they might as well be dead. I wouldn't say that. But the same token, their life has changed forever. And we've got them in this theater. And if we're not going to do our best to protect them at every stage, then what are we doing there? Which is exactly the point Fred Flights also made. He's been in national intel for 25 plus years, so he sees all this happening, and he said, we know they're out there. We know their plans. Sometimes we can stop them, sometimes we can't. They only need to get through one time. Which also brings us to the threat at the border, the open border. I'll deal with that in more details coming up. Glad to have you on board with us again. Here we are, January 29, 2024, second hour, Larry Connors, USA. And when we're on this air for you, every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., video of the show is streaming at Larry Connors, USA, Facebook, Rumble, and Twitter. And also on News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, and YouTube. If you miss anything that you want to replay or share with someone else, and I always encourage you to share. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. You can find it, watch it at your pleasure, listen to it at your pleasure, and then push the button to share. You can also subscribe for free. We do not share your information. We're just making it quicker, faster available for you. And reminding you, following tonight's program will be the debut of the Rob Carter Show, starting right after we sign off. Going to be another exciting program right here on Newstalk STL. Glad to have Rob on board. Had him on the other day talking about what's coming up, and it's going to be a great program. You don't want to miss it. All right, so back to what we're dealing with right now. 168 attacks on our U.S. troops. CNN was talking about what may be happening next.
President Biden yesterday called this attack on those U.S. forces despicable and wholly unjust. And now he and his team are working towards deciding how exactly the U.S. will respond. In a statement mourning the death of those three U.S. service members, the president said, quote, "We will hold all those responsible to account at a time and in a manner of our choosing." Now, the president so far has said that it was Iran-backed militant groups based in Syria and Iraq that were responsible for this attack. But the U.S. is still working to determine which specific group carried out this attack on U.S. forces. Overnight, Iran denied any involvement or responsibility for this attack, according to Iran's state news agency. And it really speaks to one of the challenges facing President Biden going forward, as he and his team have really tried to sought to prevent this conflict from widening into an even broader conflict in the Middle East.
But it has. It has widened. And it will continue to. And we've got U.S. forces spread throughout the Middle East, Jordan, Iraq, other places. And we're doing nothing against Iran. There are those, Lindsey Graham among them, saying, bomb the hell out of Tehran. Do it now. Others looking for an applied force, but not that severe, but enough to get their attention, hitting targets inside Iran, where we know they have training camps and so forth. And or another option is, in combination with, or separate, sanctioning Iran again, shutting out oil monies coming in. When they're shipping 1 million barrels of oil a day to China and being paid for it, something like $850 billion in the first 9 months, 9 to 10 months of last year, gives them more money to spread all their operations around. Now, John Kirby, of course, is among those representing the White House, as he is the National Security Coordinating Spokesman. On MSNBC, Joe Scarborough raised a good question. I'm going to give him credit for that. And Kirby's response, I could have written out before it was given anyway.
At what point do we actually go after the source of the attacks, Iran, and strike them where they are?
Well, I think I certainly understand Americans' concern over these repeated attacks by groups that are backed by Iran, Joe. I'm not going to get ahead of the president or his decision space. I mean, you heard him say yesterday, we're going to respond. We'll do that. Obviously, we have now three American families that got the worst possible news over the weekend, and now 30 more others that are injured, some of them seriously. We're going to take this seriously as well. We've got to do what we have to do to protect our troops and our facilities. What the options are available to the president, we're still working through that. He's still working his way through that, and I don't want to close down any decision space on his behalf. That said, we certainly know Iran's back in these groups. We know that they are resourcing, they're supplying, in some cases they're providing information that allows these groups to do this. We're taking that very seriously. We don't want a wider war with Iran. We don't want a wider war in the region, but we got to do what we have to do.
Well, what is that? We got to do. Now, again, I'm not for telegraphing to the enemy what we're going to do in a time frame. I'm not for that. But you need to show the American people what the hell you are going to do, and they need to see at the receiving end of the message we send, we mean it. The U.S. has lost respect throughout the international community. It started losing it when Obama came in, and the first thing he did was go on an apology tour throughout the world saying, we're so sorry for what we did here, what we did there. What you start with an apology rather than saying, look what we have done for you. And then, of course, following up with Biden doing pretty much the same thing, not doing much at all. But John Bolton, who had served as national security advisor under Trump briefly before they had a parting of ways, Bolton is hawkish, and Trump is considered hawkish too by many. As far as what he thinks Biden should be doing, here's John Bolton.
I don't think the Shia militia would have attacked Tower 22 without express authorization by Iran. If there were ever a moment, and frankly, the moment started about 3 months ago, but if there were ever a moment now when to show American determination and take a significant step to reestablish deterrence, the president's response has to be to strike targets in Iran.
Striking targets inside Iran. That will certainly begin to get their attention. Which targets? How severe? Bolton, as I said, he has a previous history with Trump as national security advisor. Previous history as U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Now suggesting we go ahead and target sites inside Iran. He's also believing what many in command have been saying. It is by sheer luck that what happened this last weekend hasn't happened before now.
Our military officers have been saying for some time, the only reason we haven't had a mass casualty event like this in the past few months is luck. And obviously, luck ran out. If you want to establish deterrence, you don't just hit the proxies that are carrying out the attack. You carry out retaliation against the command and control authorities in Iran and some of their facilities. And just say one more point here. You don't do this in a tit-for-tat response. You don't say, well, they did this and we're going to do that. To reestablish deterrence or maybe establish it in the first place, we have to impose enough pain on Iran that it outweighs what they've done to us and is sufficient for them to say, we're never going to try it again. So let's see what Biden does here.
All right, we'll watch and see what he does, but is it going to make a message clear to Iran? One thing Bolton did say, don't be talking about, well, they got three of ours killed. We go kill three of theirs, and we do it in a proportional method. No, that's not the way you fight a war.
I don't think it should be proportionate. I think it should be disproportionate. That's how you create deterrence in the mind of your adversary, that the cost to them of attacking our forces is so high they won't do it again. But to give a couple of specific targets, there are Iranian naval vessels in the Red Sea assisting the Houthis in Yemen. I'd put them at the bottom of the Red Sea. There are Quds Force bases in western Iran that are used for training and equipping these Iraqi Shia militia groups. They could be attacked. There are many, many air defense locations throughout Iran. Any or all of them could be targets. None of this threatens the regime in Tehran. Not that that would particularly bother me, but for those who are nervous, none of that threatens the regime, but it sends a very clear message. Now, we can go further up the ladder here if need be. Iran's oil facilities, as an example. Its nuclear facilities, as an example. But I think this initial response has got to be very tough.
And if you're really tough, be it the nuclear facility or their oil facilities, and you make it clear to them, you do not want to mess with this again. And then there's the issue. There's the issue that the terrorist cells in the Middle East have massive, numerous opportunities to enter our nation under Joe Biden's open door policy. Got an opportunity to do that. Well, If you're going to do that, we're going to have to look at it closer. And then Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says there is no doubt that they are exploiting our weakness.
The men and women who earn their spot on the FBI's terror list do so by associating with groups that hate America. They hate our values. They hate our country. They hate our people. Many of them want to kill us and drink our blood out of a boot. And yet they're coming across the southern border. These terrorist sympathizers, in some cases terrorists, they may be evil, but they're not stupid. They know they can blend into the masses at the border and come in unnoticed. For example, CNN reported a few months ago that someone who had worked as an independent contractor for ISIS helped smuggle more than a dozen people from Uzbekistan to our border. Overwhelmed officials at our border processed each migrant's asylum claim without triggering a single red flag. Not a single red flag. And then they released the whole group, every one of them, into the U.S.
Releasing them right in the U.S. And where are they now? We have no idea. They don't know where they are. Oh, but they were given a sheet of paper saying you need to return here in 6, 8, maybe 10 years for a court appointment. Right. We don't know where they are. We don't know what their scheme is, their timetable. It may be fluid. It may be a set date coming that would be an opportunity. I talked to a friend over the weekend, and they're headed for a month-long trip in Europe this coming summer. Now, listen to all the places they're going to be going. And I said, I didn't hear anything like you're going into the Middle East anywhere. He said, oh, hell no, I'm not going there. I said, but you're still not concerned with all this continuing to escalate? You have to understand, these terrorists want Jews and Americans dead wherever they find them. And you get some, quote, lax TSA existing in some of the other nations, and in this nation where we're already just taking illegals and letting them walk right on the plane. As you heard Kennedy say, Louisiana Senator Kennedy say, these on our terrorist list, we don't know anything about them. We cleared them. They went on there. We saw them on the list, but we didn't do anything. I put out a call to all you leftists out there listening. Here's my call. We've got these terrorists coming in the country. Can you open your house for them, let them stay there for a while? Would you do that? You're doing it anyway. Well, the efforts are underway and continue to impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas because of our open border. Now, is this just politics? A constitutional legal scholar comes up with an opinion that might leave you screaming, where the hell is justice? You don't want to miss that one. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And we are back with breaking news from Capitol Hill. House Republicans have just unveiled two articles of impeachment they're bringing against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The first is focused on what they call a willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law. The second is focused on what they're alleging is a breach of public trust. The reason? Republicans disagree with how the secretary is handling the humanitarian crisis at the southern border. In response, the Department of Homeland Security released this statement. Quote, this farce of an impeachment is a distraction from other vital national security priorities and the work Congress should be doing to actually fix our broken immigration laws. Republicans don't want to fix the problem. They want to campaign on it.
Yeah, Republicans don't want to fix our border problem. They want to campaign on it. Well, if Biden had closed the border, there wouldn't be anything to campaign on. Not reference a border. I mean, we could campaign on what has happened prior to him closing it, but what he's done since he's been in office is unconscionable. And then the question is it impeachable? We'll come back to that in a moment. I'm looking at two pieces from CNN and I want to share with you. One talking about Mike Johnson's razor-thin majority presenting an enormous challenge for him. Of course, we're talking about Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, overseeing one of the smallest House majorities in history. Dealing with government funding, fights over immigration, now the impeachment. Keep in mind, Republicans currently control 219 seats. 219. Democrats control 213. That's after Ohio Congressman, GOP Congressman Bill Johnson resigned from Congress early this month, became president of Youngstown State University. Why the hell he couldn't have served out and held the position and then gotten someone in, help get someone elected going out early. I honestly would love to have him in front of me and say, why wouldn't you finish up your term? That job at the president's, that's going to continue. If they want to put you on the payroll early, fine. You can work out a deal like that. So negotiate. They want you, you make it happen. But this means between his departure, there are already currently three vacancies in the House. You got former Speaker Kevin McCarthy's resignation at the end of last year. That obviously is one of them. I didn't like him making a decision to do that then. And then, of course, George Santos got expelled. And then on the Democrat side, Brian Higgins of New York has announced plans to leave Congress. Be stepping down the 2nd of next month. There is a special election to fill the seat previously held by Santos that will take place the 13th of next month. Should be competitive, and it could end up being a pickup for the Democrats. Can't have that happen. We're looking at 219 seats now currently in the hands of Republicans. Democrats, 213. If Santos' position is won by a Democrat, you got 218 by the Republicans, 214 for the Democrats. It gets more narrow. And then if someone else decides, well, I'm out of here, it's not going to go the way I want, so I'm walking away. McCarthy, I'm extremely disappointed with him as well. Serve out your damn term when you're this close and this tight. It's almost like because he had to fight so hard to get to be the House Speaker, and then they went to the floor and rejected him, that I guess he said, I'm just going to take my toys and go home. I hate to say it, but that's exactly the way I see it. The good of the party, the good of the nation. Stay and serve it out. You may not accomplish much. You may just sit in your office, but at least there's a vote they can count on, hopefully, on the Republican side. And then I've got to remind myself, Republican Hal Rogers of Kentucky got hospitalized following a car wreck earlier this month. His office has announced he has progressed and doing some physical rehab. Whether or not he can actually show up for a vote or not is going to depend. Hardline conservatives, again, this is according to CNN, showing they can hold major sway in the chamber even with such a narrow majority. But the tighter he gets, some of the so-called Republicans get a little weak-kneed. And here we are dealing with trying to come up with a border solution. Yesterday, Senator Chris Murphy was speaking about what they could get done. Now, Murphy, of course, is a Connecticut Democrat, key negotiator on a possible border deal. And he said, the text of a compromise on a bipartisan deal. He said, we're finishing the text right now. We'll be ready to send it to the Senate floor maybe this coming week. But the question remains whether Republicans are going to listen to former President Donald Trump, who's tried to tank the compromise. Again, according to the Connecticut Democrat, we're sort of finalizing the last pieces of text right now. The bill could be on the floor of the Senate next week, but it won't be if Republicans decide they want to keep this issue unsettled for political purposes. Yes, there is a political issue involved here, but more importantly, at least for the view of Republicans and conservatives I know, is not a political game. It's a national security game. And I don't want to lose that game. We can battle over money for Ukraine, which, by the way, there's questions about hundreds of millions suddenly missing that were supposed to go to buy armaments. Oh, I'm totally surprised by that. But aside from that, we have to have unity on closing the border. Then we can deal with the other issues. Not just give Joe Biden more money to go down and process people quicker. What they want, what the Democrats really want, their so-called bipartisan compromise, and I haven't seen it, but what it amounts to, well, I'll tell you what they're saying it amounts to. New authority that allows the president to shut down the border between ports of entry when unlawful crossings reach high levels. As if he would. Reforming the asylum system to resolve cases in a shorter time frame. Expediting work permits. That's the next drop of the shoe. Right behind that, a general amnesty would be coming. California Congressman Barjan was on and being questioned as to what she thought. Were we playing politics with all of this, or is it a serious issue with the border?
It's just a political stunt. We know that they're going after the secretary because they don't agree on policy. That has never been a reason to impeach a cabinet secretary, and it hasn't been done, I believe, since the Civil War. As somebody who served on the Homeland Security Committee and used to chair the border sub, we never went after Nielsen and tried to impeach her when she was separating children and families, right? It was a policy disagreement, and that is what we're seeing happening here. Republicans can't govern. We know that this is a do-nothing Congress. They have not been able to govern, so they're trying to add more on the border to campaign on, and that's what this is, a political stunt.
They can't do more because Democrats control the Senate. That's the simple fact. The extended fact is too many Republicans in the Senate and on the legislative side, the House side, are too weak-kneed. But now what about impeaching Mayorkas? I have been pushing for that. I say, yes, he should be impeached because he violated his oath of protecting this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. However, another voice we often bring to you as an expert has a view that is going to shock many of you. I didn't like to hear it, but I trust him and his knowledge, and that would be George Washington University Professor of Law, Jonathan Turley.
The fact is, impeachment is not for being a bad cabinet member or even being a bad person. It is a very narrow standard. And even though we took language from the British, we adopted a much more narrow approach to impeachment. The framers rejected terms like maladministration to make sure that we confined this. And it's important to remember that we've only impeached one cabinet member in history, and that was viewed as a fairly abusive use of impeachment. It was an impeachment after that person left office. But, you know, past Congresses have recognized that there's a danger to this. Once you cross the Rubicon and start to remove cabinet members because they're not doing a good job, and right. Mayorkas is clearly not doing a good job, but it's the job that President Biden apparently likes. He's complimented Mayorkas. He's carrying out Joe Biden's policy.
And that is the rub. And I stated that the other day. I said, I want to impeach Mayorkas, but Biden is the one who's letting it happen. He's not putting a halt to it. So whether you like it or not, Jonathan Turley is saying constitutionally, there are no grounds to impeach Mayorkas. If we abide by that, then let's cease and desist all that effort and focus on other things. Again, I hate to say, let Mayorkas off the hook for impeachment, but as he said, you can't impeach him simply because he's bad at doing his job. If he's elected, then you can get rid of him with the next election, but he's not elected. He's appointed with the nomination from the president and confirmed by the Senate. He referred, there's been only one other cabinet member that's been impeached, and he wasn't convicted of it. He's referring to Secretary of War William Belknap, 1876. Belknap was involved in some kind of traitor post scandal that supposedly monies and supplies going to his pocket, his household. However, that was the allegation in the House. They got enough votes in the House to impeach him. Here's a cabinet secretary impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, which it would fit. But when it came to the Senate, they did not convict. In fact, they acquitted him. So that's been the only other case in history. Coming up, I want you to hear from Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. How bad the border is, how bad it's going to get, and how we're all going to suffer if we don't do something sooner than later. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something, now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me. On Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally. McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm going on a way to duck on carry, make camp where the land is bare. I'm going on a way to duck on carry, ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from, left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You can cut the irony. The cynical might say the hypocrisy. I would rather say the irony. You can cut the irony with a knife. After years of presenting themselves as sanctuary cities, officials, many of them well-intentioned, throughout our country learned in 2023, Mr. President, that the crisis at our southern border is not just a crisis for southern states like Texas and Arizona and even my state. It's an American crisis.
It is an American crisis, but it took Governors Abbott and DeSantis to begin to ship illegals into the northern states, New York City, D.C., Chicago, and suddenly they start crying out, oh, no mas, no mas. We can't handle them. New York City, we can't handle 160,000 illegals. You can't handle 160,000 illegals. And yet you're a sanctuary city. And many of them have been reconsidering calling themselves sanctuary cities or states because of that. See, in the beginning of California, I mean, you don't have to go across the Rio Grande Valley. You just go right into California. And it was a sanctuary state and sanctuary city. And other blue cities and mayors and governors began to jump on and say, yeah, we want to be one too. And now suddenly, yeah, really don't want to be, but how do we get out of this? They have, the old proverbial, painted themselves into the corner. And then over the weekend, the Biden administration on Friday, and this is typical of any administration, it's not just Biden. If they have some bad news they really don't want to get a lot of coverage on, what they do is what they call the Friday night dump. Now, I don't know what you're thinking of when I say that. It has nothing to do with body functions, although in a way it might. The Friday night dump from the Biden administration last Friday, they issued the monthly Southwest Land Border Encounters report, coming out later than normal because hold it till Friday. Because maybe not too many people will see it. And if they see it, they report on it. Well, a lot of people are involved in other things. They won't be watching, especially with the football games are on over the weekend and other things. They just won't catch it. Well, you might have missed it. But I'm here serving you every day. As you know, I begin with a salute to you. I'm reporting for duty to you every day. And I do see this, and I want to share it with you. This Friday night dump. The report released Friday, late Friday, shows Border Patrol agents along the southwest border with Mexico apprehended 249,785 illegals crossing the border in December between the ports of entry. This is up by 12% of those apprehended 1 year ago. This now means the southwest border total for the first quarter of fiscal year 24, 630,000 migrant encounters. More than half of those. You want to do some quick ciphering? Let's make it 325,000 classified as single adults. Could there be guys, young men, maybe older men, just want to come to America and have a better life, earn money, and send back to their families? Could be. Could they also be coming here to run drugs, traffic children? That's very likely. Could they be coming in to be part of a terrorist cell at some future date? Certainly likely. The remainder of those were family units, with 270,000 of the 630,000. Then you have the unaccompanied minors at 35,000. By minors, they're looking, I think they have actually adjusted the age to maybe 19 as a minor. Maybe it's 18, but either way, that's 35,000 that are considered minors. They just kind of came on their own. Now, how do you think they got here? Well, they didn't get here on their own. Drug cartels brought them, maybe trafficking them. Maybe they're with some of the, quote, families or the single men, but then they separate once they get to the border. The number of Chinese migrants encountered at the southwest border also continues to rise. In December, agents encountering nearly 6,000. During the first quarter of fiscal year 24, 15,000. First quarter, 15,000 compares to more than 24,000 in all of 23. Which takes us back to Louisiana Senator John Kennedy on who these folks are that are coming across our border.
President Biden's border policies are not just a human rights disaster, though they certainly are. But his policies have also provided the perfect cover for terrorist sympathizers, for child sex offenders, for cartel associates to enter the country illegally. All you have to do is mix in, because nobody's checking anybody. The numbers that I'm about to give you will make you throw up. Border Patrol apprehended 169 members of the FBI's terrorist watch list attempting to cross the southern border illegally in 2023 alone. 169. It only takes one terrorist. That's more than 10 times the number of potential terrorists that Border Patrol detained in the 4 years before President Biden took office.
And keep in mind, those are the ones they actually encountered and apprehended. The vast getaways, no one really has a good number on those. They might spot them by binoculars at night crossing an area where there are no agents available to grab them quickly. They might be caught on a camera set up that sometimes farmers will set up to protect their stock from coyotes. And by coyotes, I'm talking about the four-legged kind, but also coyotes, the two-legged kind that bring people across the border. And then in the midst of this, before I let Senator Kennedy continue about these terrorists that are coming across and who they really are, I'm looking at a piece of what Joe Biden has now decided to do. They decided as of January 26th, let me check my date again here. Let me look at my calendar and everything. This date is, I got it right here in front of me. I always want to double check. Today is, as I told you in the beginning, this is the 29th. On the 26th, again last Friday, word is released for the Biden administration. They are going to stop approving liquefied natural gas, LNG, exports out of Texas. Texas has a vast amount of that, and they ship it out. It's the largest gas exporter of natural gas in the nation, third in the world. That money is used to pay and fund education. And the Biden administration sent word to the Texas Land Commissioner, we're going to stop approving your LNG exports for a time. That just happened to coincide with their decision that if we're not going to be allowed access to Shelby Park and Eagle Pass, and you're not going to tear down that razor wire like you've been ordered to, and you're going to continue to battle us on border control, then we're just going to shut down your export of liquid natural gas. And the Texas Land Commissioner, Don Buckingham, says this looks more like retaliation than a sound policy decision. Let me add to her thoughts. This is not just looking like retaliation. This is retaliation. You're punishing the state of Texas on a vast source of material money revenue they have coming in. And actually, you're punishing those who rely on liquid natural gas in other states, buying it from Texas. And I will guarantee you, without even looking down the list of who they are exporting to, you're going to find several blue cities and states on that list. So, yeah, it's retaliation. Cutting off money for education for kids. Where are the leftists hollering? Oh, you can't do that. You're cheating kids out of their education. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Many on the left don't care about educating our children anymore. They care more about indoctrinating them. Well, that's going to give you less money to indoctrinate. How's that? How's that sit with you? I want to go back to Senator John Kennedy speaking from the well of the Senate as to the people that are coming across, what we do know about them.
The men and women who earn their spot on the FBI's terror list do so by associating with groups that hate America. They hate our values. They hate our country. They hate our people. Many of them want to kill us and drink our blood out of a boot. And yet they're coming across the southern border. These terrorist sympathizers, in some cases terrorists, they may be evil, but they're not stupid. They know they can blend into the masses at the border and come in unnoticed. For example, CNN reported a few months ago that someone who had worked as an independent contractor for ISIS helped smuggle more than a dozen people from Uzbekistan to our border. Overwhelmed officials at our border process each migrant's asylum claim without triggering a single red flag. Not a single red flag. And then they release the whole group, every one of them, into the U.S.
You almost want to laugh, cry, shout. How the hell can that happen? Because of this administration. And many of them are coming from the Middle East where they're terrorists already. So when they're coming here, they're going to be continue to be terrorists. John Bolton, I had him in the last hour. I want to replay this because I think it's that vital in his assessment as to Joe Biden and Donald Trump when it comes to handling what's going on in the Middle East. Now, John Bolton served as a UN ambassador, was also an advisor to Trump briefly before they came to a falling out. And he was being asked, who would you prefer and who you think would handle what's happening in the Middle East better, Trump or Biden?
Neither one of them is. Neither is fit to be commander-in-chief at this point. Trump, as usual, is, as they say in Texas, all hat and no cattle. He has a large mouth and a large ego to go with it. Biden doesn't seem to get the point. I'm not sure Trump does either. The center of the problem in the Middle East today is Iran. They are the support for Hamas attack on Israel on October the 7th, for what the Houthis are doing in the Red Sea, for the Hezbollah missile attacks on northern Israel, and for these Iraqi Shia militia attacking American positions. If you want this to stop, you have to make the people truly responsible for it pay the price, and that's in Iran. As Al Haig, Secretary of State, used to say, go to the source.
Go to the source. Now, does that mean bombing Tehran directly? Sanctions? But in Bolton's opinion, neither Trump nor Biden would be handling. I am going to disagree with him. I think Biden came in and disrupted what Trump had in place, and that's why we're in what we're in. But if you need one more thing to keep you awake tonight, I want to share with you a piece, an opinion piece written in The Hill by Harlan Ullman, senior advisor at the Atlantic Council, prime author of The Shock and Awe Military Doctrine. And it begins this way. War with China would be an unmitigated strategic catastrophe. Well, we don't have war with China directly right now, but on the verge. He writes, the U.S. often suffers from historical amnesia and technological hubris. One striking example, since World War II ended, America has lost every war it started. Yes, America has lost every war it started. Vietnam, Afghanistan, the Second Iraq War, and it won the Cold War, which it did not start. He said Saddam Hussein's 1990 invasion of Kuwait provoked an overwhelming response by a large international effort. But after all, where has bin Laden killed? In Pakistan, not Afghanistan. And then he starts talking about dealing with China. He said, suppose China launched an invasion or bombarded Taiwan with a massive air and missile attack. How would we defend Taiwan? And he points out, we have to look at what we have. And based on what we have right now, we have basically 1 month's supply of weapons before we would run out, because we've been giving them to everybody like Ukraine. He said, given that likely weapons expenditure rates should a war with China erupt, our capacity for about a month before we run out of inventory. He said, the most discussed scenario in the so-called Battle of the Taiwan Straits and defeating a Chinese military invasion and assault on that island needs to be carefully re-examined. Is it based on past invasions in World War II and Korea, Normandy in 44, Okinawa later? You need 5,000 or more ships and small craft, several hundred thousands of soldiers and Marines. We don't have that, but China does. They have the mass numbers. Now you go to sleep better at night? The debut of the Rob Carter Show coming up next. Please stick around and hear that. Join us tomorrow. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.